Welcome all of our listeners to the Sunday morning worship service here at Ritter Farms in East Tennessee. Those of you who are listening on the internet can listen from 4 to 5 a.m., 10 to 11 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 8 to 9 p.m., and all of those times are Eastern time here in the United States. If you miss a program on Sunday, there are several listening options. You can go to www.ritterfarms.com, and on the Sunday morning worship page, you can find the entire service listed by date. And if you want to just listen to the sermon again, or if you missed the sermon and want to listen to it, go to www.godsgracealone.org. and go to the sermons page. We're going to start the show off today with a song called When the Angels Carry Me Home, and this is by All for Him.
I'll fly away to heaven, and I won't fall when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. Sorrow, no more pain when the angels carry me home. I'll ride that heavenly glorious train when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. Be on that pathway leading to heaven when the angels carry me home. I'll see Jesus waiting for me in heaven when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. Carry me home, when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all, when the angels carry me home.
And now here's Audie Blaylock in Red Line with a song called Lord Lead Me On.
When the way seems dark and long, as I pass amid the throng, hold to my hand, dear Lord, I pray. Give me grace to shout and shine, ever in the life divine.
Lord, lead me on.
Lord, lead me on from day to day.
Oh, lead me
lead
on.
Lead me on
from day to day.
Day to day.
I want to
walk. I want to walk
the holy way.
Holy way.
No friends forsake.
Friends forsake.
all alone.
All alone.
I ask the Lord
to lead me home. In this world of doubt and gloom, when all flowers start to bloom,
hold to my hand.
Hold to my hand, dear Lord, I pray. I have put my faith in Thee, till the homely hour shall be.
Lord, lead me on.
Lord, lead me on from day to day.
Oh, lead me on.
Lead me on
from day to day.
Day to day.
I want to walk the holy way.
Friends forsake
me all alone.
I ask the Lord to lead me home. When old age is stealing on and my strength is almost gone,
hold to my hand,
dear Lord, I pray. Surely Thou will ne'er forsake, and in heaven I'll awake.
Lord, lead me on.
Lord, lead me on from day to day.
Oh, lead me on from day to
day. Day to day.
I want to
walk
the holy way.
No
friends forsake me
all alone. I ask the Lord to lead me home.
Was Jesus Hold My Hand by the Bells Brothers, and now here's Way Down Deep in My Soul, sung by Barry Scott and Second Wind.
I have a feeling in my soul since the Savior made me whole.
Way down
deep in my soul, I'm a trusting Jesus every day, for I know I'm on my way.
Way down,
way down,
down, way down, way down, just way down in my soul.
Down in my soul, I'll sing
and pray till Christ shall come to take me with him to stay. Then I'll be going to that home, never more from him to roam.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just way down in my soul. The light of heaven I now can see, for he came to set me free.
Way down,
way down, way down, way down, oh, way down deep in my soul. I know there's glory to behold, for I feel it in my soul.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just way down in my soul.
Down in my soul,
I'll sing
and pray
till Christ shall come to take me with him to stay. Then I'll be going to that home, never more from him to roam.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just way down in my soul.
Down in
my soul,
I'll sing
and pray till Christ shall come to take me with him to
stay.
Then I'll be going to that home, evermore from him to roam.
Way down,
way down,
way down,
way down, just a way down in my soul.
A lot of different groups have recorded this next song, but I like the version by Big Country Bluegrass. The song is Man in the Middle.
Up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Heal a man on the left with a sinner man. Tied to the cross, he bled. He could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. You say you are the Son of God. They nailed you to a tree. Come down from down and save us if God your Father be. Up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Jesus said to him, fear not, this third to death. Before this case, oh, shalt thou be with me in paradise on heaven's golden shore. Dreaming on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me.
Body.
Praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
It's only a week, new friend.
do, power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal with the redeemed of
God.
And there'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain,
there'll be no more strife. Yes, rage in the lightning of my Savior, ready to live in
paradise.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
Every imperfection, you shall a happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
Glorified in Him forever, list to be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of glory, eternal with the redeemed of God. And there'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain,
there'll be no more strife. Yes, rage in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in the glory. I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
Hallelujah, morning when the light trumpet of God shall sound.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
Oh, the verse of saints and shout in heaven be beauty all around.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of glory eternal with the redeemed of God. There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain,
there'll be no more strife. Yes, rage in the likeness of my Savior, ready to
live. I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life. I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord.
I'll have a new life.
That was I'll Have a New Life by bluegrass great Bill Monroe. And now here's Blue Highway with a song called This World Is Not My Home.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world.
This next song is Living Water by Blue Moon Rising.
I drink from the living water, His Spirit now in me dwells. With one drink the Savior gave me victory over death and hell. I was an empty vessel. Now the water is flowing in me. One drink of the living water will last through eternity. I drank from the living water that washes away every sin. He gave me the living water. Now I'll never thirst again. I'd been wandering through dry places, exhausted and on the brink. My soul was weary and thirsty when he reached down and gave me a drink. I was a lonely sinner, and a poor sinner still am I, but a drink from the living water. And now I will never die. I drank from the living water that washes away every sin. He gave me the living water. Now I'll never thirst again. I drank from the living water that washes away every sin. Gave me the living water. Now I'll never thirst again.
And now we're going to play a Bob Stone and Virginia Gospel Singers song called Drifting Too Far.
You're drifting too far from the shore. today. Let him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the
next song is Rock My Soul by Carl Story and the Ramblin' Mountaineers.
Once I wandered in sin, so far, far from home. Wayward and burdened, I walked all alone. But then in the stillness,
here Here's Paul Williams and the Victory Trio with Wayfaring Pilgrim, and after this song, Jack will be here with the message.
I am a poor wayfaring pilgrim while traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go.
Good to be with you today. Always good to be with you, and certainly would desire your prayers today as we endeavor to speak to you, and certainly hope and pray that someone would be blessed by something is said. Having something on our mind today, I suppose we have lost track of what this country was founded upon, and I guess more than anything else, this is to inform people and teach people, especially young people, and we need to be doing that. As children of God, we need to be teaching our young people about what this country stood for in the centuries past and what it was founded upon. And, you know, it seems today around every turn that God is being tossed from society, and we can't even proclaim his name in most places, especially public places. And, you know, it goes against what our founding fathers set this country up on, and it goes against what we learned as we were younger people. But we need to be diligent in teaching these young people today about these things, about a God that is sovereign, a God that can do his will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. I hope you observed Memorial Day for the reason it was set aside as a holiday. and that was to honor our fallen soldiers who gave their all in defending this nation against those who would destroy it. It's not a reason to have a day off from work or to go on a picnic or to have a barbecue. I see too much of that in this generation, claiming the freedoms that our fallen heroes have died to preserve without recognizing and honoring the sacrifice they've made. And I also see that it really isn't their fault. It's the fault of the generation that was entrusted with teaching them about God's role in the founding of this nation and about the sacrifice of those who gave their all to defend this nation against evil. There are only two forces, and you remember this, there's only two forces in this world. The force for good, which is God, and the force for evil, which is Satan. Our nation was founded on principles which are good because they came from God's Word, the Bible. There isn't a single human condition or problem related to society or government that can't be found in God's Word. You ever realize that? His instructions encompass everything that the human mind might conceive or encounter on this journey through life. That's why any time we are faced with circumstances that lead us down the wrong path, we must consider what God's Word says. We can look to God's Word and see what happened when the Israelites did what we have done for the past few generations. God commissioned the Israelites to teach their children about the night He delivered them from the Egyptians, and He established the Passover feast to commemorate that night for all generations. God commissioned Joshua to set up a stone monument by the Jordan River when the last of the Israelites had passed safely on dry ground into the promised land, and to teach future generations the meaning of the stones and what the Lord had done for them in leading them to that land. The failure of the Israelites to teach their children and their grandchildren and each generation that came after it was what led to their destruction. We've been following in the footsteps of the Israelites for several generations, and look what is becoming of our country. The only solution is for us, God's children, the people that are in authority, to teach our younger people, educate them about the Word of God, educate them about God. We must teach our children the truth about our founding and stop this nonsense about taking God out of our government, our education system, our businesses, and all other aspects of our society. We've let it go on too long, and it's gone too far. But not so far that God can't reverse this trend if we are obedient to His commandments, to change what is happening in their lives today. Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, said in Proverbs the 29th chapter and the 2nd verse, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear through, the people mourn." That seems to be where we are today. You see more mourning going on in this nation today than rejoicing. Right now, in this nation, we are slaves to debt and taxes, and we are slipping deeper and deeper into bondage because of the practices of an irresponsible government. 80% of the people in this country consider themselves to be Christians. If our nation is a Christian nation and is to remain a Christian nation, it must be governed according to the laws of God. David said in Psalms the 19th chapter, the 7th through the 14th verse, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Those words were penned by David, a man after God's own heart. David loved God's law. He said so many times in the Psalms. When David committed sin with Bathsheba and had her husband killed in battle so he could marry her, Nathan confronted him with his sin, and David was repentant. You can see how repentant he was if you read Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If God's people loved his laws, they would feel as David does. God's laws are precious to his people. And if 80% of this country claim to be God's people, then there should be no problem displaying God's laws all over this land, brothers and sisters. I do not understand that. I fail to understand it, that a 20% minority can dictate what we do when we believe in a God that we know is the one true and living God. You know, today's text in Deuteronomy suggests that the mark of a great nation is being a nation that fears the Lord and His laws as their foundation. Moses writes in Deuteronomy 4:7-10, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. This is what made Israel great among the nations of the world in the Old Testament, and it is what made America great until the early 19th century. Because they had God nigh unto them, and because they had His statutes and laws that are righteous. But since the early 19th century, our government has been dismantling this country and doing whatever is necessary to remove God and His laws from public view. And as a people of God, we have failed to teach our children how important God was to our founding fathers and that they should fear God and be obedient to God's laws. God gave His laws to His chosen people, the Israelites, in the wilderness after He brought them out of bondage in Egypt. In Deuteronomy 7, God tells them, Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God redeemed His people and gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. Because they were not as mighty as the heathen nations in the land of Canaan, God destroyed those nations and gave the land to His people. Moses said to the people of Israel, when he gave them God's laws in Deuteronomy 4, Know therefore this day and consider it. Consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. In chapter 11, Moses tells them, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. The Lord God ruled over Israel. He was their God, and they were His people. Then after being in the promised land for some time, now listen to me. After being in the promised land there for some time, the Israelites decided they wanted to be like the heathen nations, and in 1 Samuel, they asked God to give them a king. All the elders of Israel came to Samuel, who was getting old, and his sons walked not in the ways of the Lord. And the elders said to Samuel, Make us a king to judge us like all other nations. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So the Lord gave Israel the king they asked for. But he told Israel what that king would be like. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectioners, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. And he will take your men servants, and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Hear what he says. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. Even after God told the Israelites what a king would be like, they still wanted one. God told them a king would make servants out of their sons and daughters. He said a king would take a tenth of their sheep, and whatever else he wanted that they possessed for himself. God was telling them, Your sons and daughters will be taken to work for the government, and you will be taxed a portion of what you own. But Israel still wanted a king. God appointed Saul as king, and he was just the kind of king they asked for, one like the heathen nations had. When God brought the Israelites to the promised land, he told them not to mingle or intermarry with the heathen nations, but they did. And Israel gradually became a corrupt, idol-worshipping nation. When the pilgrims came to America, they perceived that they were coming to the promised land. God brought them across the ocean from countries where they were oppressed. Many came seeking religious freedom from a king who punished them by cutting off the tops of their ears, whipping them or branding them on the forehead with a hot iron if they didn't worship in his church, the Church of England. This is what our founders meant by keeping church and state separate. They believed in the one true God of the Bible, but they didn't believe that governments had the right to establish churches or to tell them how to worship. They believed that the hand of God, which led the children of Israel into the promised land, was leading them to their promised land, a land called America. That's what happened, brothers and sisters. When Moses led the children out of Egypt and into the wilderness, he was the leader of about 1 million people. Moses spent day and night hearing the complaints of the people and settling disputes among them. Then in Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he told Moses that what he was doing was not right. One man cannot spend all his time hearing petty disputes and settling arguments and be an effective leader. He can't do it. He can't be an effective leader and listen to all this. Jethro's solution is in Exodus 18 and 21. Jethro tells Moses, Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50 and rulers of tens. In this single verse, God gives Moses, through Jethro, not only the qualifications of the leaders that should be chosen, but how the government should be set up. This single verse is the basis for Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution. First, Jethro gives Moses four qualifications for the leaders that were to be selected. And these are the qualifications that we should be looking for in our leaders and teaching our children to look for in future leaders. Jethro says, Thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. The first qualification is ability. Moses was to choose able men, and we should too. Able means qualified, having the necessary skills, resources, the talent, and the knowledge, and the intelligence to do the job. In America today, we have ceased to follow God's words and look for this quality in selecting our leaders. Next, Jethro says to select men such as fear God. Our founders were God-fearing men, but with the blatant attempts to remove God from our society, no one mentions this quality anymore when selecting our leaders. Israel didn't either. When the nation was split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, all of the kings of Israel were evil kings, which led the nation into idol worship and wickedness, and most of the kings of Judah were evil. The nation of Israel was destroyed, and Judah was scattered. Their demise was entirely their own fault for not making sure their leaders were God-fearing men. And it should be pretty obvious that America is on that path of destruction because we have selected leaders who do not fear God. Quite the contrary, our leaders are leading us away from God and into wickedness. And the only way to reverse the course is to choose leaders who fear God. The third qualification that Jethro gives Moses is for the leaders selected to be men of truth. These days, looking for men of truth in our government is like looking for a needle in a haystack. In all my years on this earth, I have never before heard so many lies come out of our leaders' mouths. Blatant lies. They will deny saying or doing things that are on videotape for the whole world to see that they did them. Not only are they men of lies instead of men of truth, their lying shows that they do not fear God. Finally, Jethro tells Moses to select men who hate covetousness. Covetousness means excessively desirous of the possessions of another, marked by an extreme desire to acquire or possess. Through Jethro, God is telling Moses that men who are covetous should not be selected as leaders. Men who hate covetousness make good leaders. We have gone wrong for many, many years now on this qualification. Our founders hated covetousness. They served in Congress just long enough to enact necessary laws. Then they went back to their regular jobs at home. There were no salaries for government servants, and that's what they were, servants of the people. There were no term limits back then, but George Washington put limits on himself, and so did all of the presidents who followed him until Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Roosevelt served 16 years, and out of the fear that other self-serving men might do the same, Congress put a 2-year limit on the presidency. There was a time when anyone who wanted to be president could be president. One of our greatest leaders, Abraham Lincoln, was a poor man. Nowadays, it takes millions and millions of dollars to become president of this country. Our leaders go to Washington as men of modest means, and Lee, you listen to me now. Our leaders we're seeing today, they go to Washington as men of modest means and leave after 20 or 30 years as millionaires or billionaires. How do they do that on the salaries they are paid? We didn't even pay our leaders until 17 and 89. Compensation for our congressman was $6 per day. It gradually increased to a yearly salary of $3,000 in 1815. In 1934, it was $10,000 per year. And today, it is over $170,000 per year. How can anyone of modest means go to Congress making $170,000 per year and just a few years later be a millionaire? The Bible tells us the answer is because they do not possess the quality of hating covetousness. The last part of this verse is the basis for our government in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. Jethro says to Moses, after telling him what kind of men to select, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. In the rulers over tens, Jethro is describing the government of the family. In rulers over fifties, he's describing local governments. In rulers over hundreds, he is describing state governments. And in rulers over thousands, he's describing the federal government. Jethro knew that Moses could not handle governing a million people by himself. This organization of governments and division of responsibilities of leaders relieved Moses of constant day and night settling of disputes from the people. In the next verse, the very next verse, Jethro says to Moses, "And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace." So Moses, he took the advice of his father-in-law and did what he said. And our founders also followed the advice of Jethro in setting up the government of the only constitutional republic that has ever existed. But we have neglected to teach our children that our founding fathers loved and feared the Lord. Do you realize that? Not only the signers of the Declaration of Independence, but the framers of the Constitution as well. We are familiar with many of the ideas that are in the Constitution, but most people don't know where they come from. Thomas Jefferson was President of the United States when the U.S. Capitol building was finished in November of 1800. One of the first acts of Congress was to approve the use of the Capitol building as a church building. President Jefferson went to church there for 8 years. He ordered the Marine Corps band to play for worship services in the Capitol. While he was president, he signed a bill ratified by Congress to give federal money to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indians. Jefferson had no problem with religion and government. His problem was a government church or religion forced on the people by the government like the Church of England. Here are some things most people don't know about our founding fathers. Of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, John Witherspoon was an ordained minister. Charles Thompson was responsible for a translation of the Bible. As governor of Massachusetts, John Hancock asked the people of Massachusetts to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Governor John Trumbull issued a proclamation to take up money for the spread of the gospel. Dr. Benjamin Rush advocated Bible study, saying if everyone would study the Bible and obey it, then all social problems would diminish. Francis Hopkins was a church choir leader who is responsible for the earliest printed hymnal. President John Adams said, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity, brothers and sisters." James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement. "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity for each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves, according to what? According to the Ten Commandments of God." This is where our fathers stood on the laws of God. How many generations living today don't know that our founders established this nation on the Ten Commandments? How many generations living today don't know that our form of government came from Jethro's advice to Moses in Exodus, the 18th chapter? Why are we, at this point in the history of our nation, in a place where God has been taken out of our schools? His laws cannot be displayed in public buildings, and our judges take the sides of minorities who want to stop prayer and Bible reading and reciting the Pledge of Allegiance at every public event in this country. How did we get here, brothers and sisters? Well, you think about it. We stopped teaching our children that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We stopped reading the Bible to them and taking them to church. We stopped teaching them the ways of the Lord. Then we stopped teaching the faith of our founding fathers in our textbooks. We stopped teaching our children that our founding fathers based the laws of this country on the laws of God. We stopped teaching them that our founders advocated reading the Bible in our schools and starting the day with prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We have generations of people in this nation who don't know the importance of the Bible in the founding of this great country and the writing of our Constitution. Because of our failure to select leaders who are able, who fear God, who are men of truth, and who hate covetousness, we now have a government of men who are destroying this nation with financial ruin, who are dismantling our military, making us vulnerable to our enemies, who are enslaving our people with poverty and dependency, and who are removing the God of the Bible from our history and enthroning Allah, in his place. It won't be long before we'll have a choice of bowing to Allah or being executed for being faithful to our God. Evil is gaining on us every day, brothers and sisters. Evil is gaining on us every day that we fail to teach our children that the foundation of this country is the Word of God. And when evil overtakes us, we'll have no one to blame but ourselves. It's on us now, brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you today, and I certainly pray that someone would be blessed by these few words today.